Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Chimp Out Radio, show number 8. And I thank you so much for joining us again here. And well, today, it's going to be a bit of a different show. I guess I'll be flying solo for the first half of the show. I don't have my esteemed co-host, Burman, with me this time around. He had a previous personal commitment, so he wasn't able to join me. He said, just going ahead without me, so I appreciate that, Burman, and I'll try to do the best I can here on my own. Although it feels a little weird. I'll get by somehow, I guess. But that's okay. We do have a very special guest on the second half of the show, and of course we have the usual nigger news and TNB to talk about. That's always. Always available. That's never in short supply, I should say. So let's go ahead and get right on to it. We start with a news story from Erie, Pennsylvania. And this is, well, yet another example of the lack of emotional control that niggers seem to display. They can't seem to keep control their emotions, even after the smallest incidents. Well, here's what this story is about. Here's the headline: Erie man charged in 5-month-old daughter's death. And here's what the story says. A man, or I should say a nigger, irate that the family dog defecated on the floor, brutally kicked the animal, killing it, and then fatally injured his 5-month-old daughter by shaking her when she began to cry, police said. Vincent Davis, age 24, of Erie, was charged on Friday with homicide and the death of Savonia Davis. She died at Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh on Thursday, 2 days after she was injured. She had broken ribs, fluid in the brain, and cuts and bruises, according to doctors and or veterinarians, and a forensic pathologist. Erie police said Davis told them on Wednesday that Savonia slipped from his hands while he was changing her diaper. On Thursday, he admitted shaking her, police said. Savonia vomited, then became lethargic, and Davis could not wake her. The girl was taken to St. Vincent Health Center on Tuesday, then transported to the Pittsburgh Hospital. The nigger Davis said, sobbing as he was led to his arraignment, "It was an accident, and shit, I didn't kill her, I didn't do nothing." Davis was also charged with aggravated assault, reckless endangerment, endangering the welfare of a child, and cruelty to animals. Police found the Jack Russell Terrier's body in a trash bag on Davis's girlfriend's porch. Davis's mother and stepfather, Tawanda Davis and Leonard Sly, attended his arraignment Friday. Sly said of Davis, his stepson, "He loved that little girl. He spoiled her. He loved her so much. I don't know what happened, but he would never have hurt that little girl." Well, I know what happened. The TNB happened. Niggers not being able to control their own emotions or being able to deal with the simplest of tasks. That's what happened. So, this nigger animal killed his nigglet. And worst of all, he killed his dog. What about that? I throw him in jail for the dog. For the dead nigglet, I might give him a fine for animal cruelty, maybe. Then again, maybe not. Damn it, that poor dog. What is it with niggers and dogs? I think we should pass a law to prohibit niggers from owning dogs, because whenever you have a nigger and, well, any kind of animal, it never turns out well for the animals. Our next story, it was also posted on the Chimp Out Forum. This is about a nigger who worked at a mortuary, at a morgue, and he apparently medicked over 100 corpses. And I know the impulse of niggers to medic constantly is pretty strong, but this is, even by nigger standards, a little much. Then again, as someone on the forum commented, maybe this nigger got tired of being pepper sprayed and mazed by human rape victims, so he decided to go with subjects that wouldn't be quite as that wouldn't be able to fight back. But let me read from the story. It's from the Daily Mail, the British newspaper. A morgue attendant had sex with more than 100 corpses at the mortuary where he worked, prosecutors claimed yesterday. Kenneth Douglas, age 55, took advantage of 16 years of night shifts to abuse the women's bodies. He was frequently high on drink or drugs, what a shocker, during his macabre activities, which were only discovered after police carried out DNA tests. Douglas is already serving a prison sentence after admitting to having sex with the nearly beheaded corpse of Karen Range, who was 19 when she was murdered in 1982. So apparently, this nigga was already in jail because he got caught for, initially for one madicking of a nearly beheaded woman. You know, what do you say about shit like this? And he was caught because apparently he left his nigger jizz inside all these corpses. That's how he was caught. And as it turned out, he madicked dozens and dozens of dead women. I mean, this is a really horrific story. Let me read on. There's just a little more to this. He now faces two identical charges after forensic experts in Hamilton County, Indiana, analyzed evidence from two women who were murdered in 1991. Police believe the number of bodies he abused could be more than 100, though he claims to not remember any identities. I am sure there are more victims. I'm certain of it, Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieter said. And yes, despite this being in a British newspaper, this happened in the United States, in Indiana, just to clarify. Anyway, I continue to quote the prosecutor. This guy's just a pig. I can't explain why someone would do something like this. This is off the charts weird. Well, I don't think this is off the charts weird. Not really, if you're familiar with nigger behavior and the nigger libido. But let me continue, and I continue to quote. We'll never know how many victims there are because he doesn't know. We probably won't ever know the scope of his abuse. Frankly, it's frightening. When he talks to the authorities about the abuse, his numbers go from 1 to 3 or 4 to a lot, to maybe over 100. So this nigger couldn't even keep track of how many dead people he madicked. Maybe he should have kept a journal. And again, he's probably illiterate like most niggers. Police examined Douglas' activities after he was convicted of abusing Range's corpse last year. They identified 15 bodies, which they believe could have been violated by the night attendant, recovering DNA evidence from two. These were the 6 months pregnant corpse of Charlene Edwards, who was strangled on October 1st, 1991. The second was Angel Hicks, age 24. That's really all about the rest of the story. It's really, I mean, I understand if an heir can't get a date, but come on, bro. Try a little harder. And I can't imagine what the families of these deceased victims must feel like, knowing that, I mean, not only are their loved ones dead, but their corpses got madicked, defiled, contaminated by an insane nigger who was drunk and or high on drugs. Yeah, I'll leave it at this. That's really nothing else I can say about this. But speaking of out-of-control TNB, let's go on over to good old Africa for a moment, and specifically Uganda, or Bunganda. And while in Uganda, there's a lot of niggers who believe themselves to be Christians, and it is now Lent, as you know, the 40 days leading up to Easter, and because it is Lent, many of the Christian, quote-unquote Christian, niggers in Uganda are praying for an end to child sacrifice in Bunganda. And you know you live in a fucked up nigger country when you're not praying for, say, the economy to improve, or for good health, or, you know, or for the poor. You're praying so that there will no longer be human sacrifice of children. That's the kind of society that you'll find in Africa. Let me read from the story. It is from allafrica.com, which I highly recommend. It's, of course, an African news website, and it is chock full of TNB. Not intentionally, of course. But let me read from the story from All Africa. Ugandan Christians will use the 40 days of Lent, beginning Wednesday, to pray for an end to the practice of human sacrifice, which continues to spread shock and fear throughout the East African country. From mid-2007, children have been kidnapped and murdered in what police and state officials say are bizarre rituals to attain wealth. There have been similar murders targeting albinos in neighboring Tanzania. In the latest incident, the body of a 16-year-old girl was discovered in Kibale district on Saturday, 4 days after she disappeared from home. Her private parts, buttock, and fingers were missing, and the head was shaved. Well, at least they got rid of that nappy-headed mess on her head. In January, Ugandan police formed a committee drawn from the Gender, Justice, and Education Ministries, the Criminal Investigations Department, and the Family Protection Unit, tasked with creating awareness, supervising, and helping local forces to investigate and to do spot checks on vehicles to preempt human sacrifice. So basically what they're saying is they're going to set up roadblocks, to check cars randomly to prevent human sacrifice, or nigger sacrifice in this case, from happening. Never mind DUI. We got to stop DWD, driving with dead, or something. In a letter to the major churches in the country, Anglican Archbishop Henry the Nigger Orambi last week requested the clergy to mobilize the faithful nationally to seek divine intervention against witchcraft and human sacrifice. So they're asking God to help them with TNB. You know what? I'm sorry. No offense to anyone out there who's religious, but I don't think God can help these niggers. I don't think any force in the universe can. But let me read on. And I quote the Archbishop Orambi. I am proposing that this prayer campaign be launched in all our churches on Ash Wednesday, 25th February 2009, under the theme, Weeping for Uganda's Children Who Are No More. Church leaders should come up with weekly sub-themes on the issue throughout the 40 days of Lent, the primate proposed. Yes, they actually call him the primate in the news story. Primate indeed. He promised to launch a media campaign on Ash Wednesday, and I quote, let us together call upon the Lord to bring an end to the vice of human sacrifice and comfort those who mourn. Well, nigger, where is your God now? Believe me, if there is a God, he doesn't care about you, and he's probably only waiting a little bit longer before he cleanses the earth of your brutal animal-like kind. So there you go. That's Lent in Uganda. Praying for niggers not to be niggers. Good luck. Let me know how that turns out. And what do you think about that, Birdman? Sorry. Shit. No, this is really weird. I don't like this. I feel very lonely here. So you know what? Let's go ahead and bring our guest onto the show. It's a very special guest that you're all going to be very familiar with from the forward, but let me not give it away for right now. We got to take a break first. So we're going to break for some music, and we will return to Chimp Out Radio. Don't go away, folks.
The other day, I took a fishing trip. Just me and my boat, an old banjo lip. Banjo was my guide, an old colored fella. He wasn't very dark, he was a high-stepping yeller. So we launched my boat, and I cranked my motor. And up to my nose came a terrible odor. I looked all around, trying to find something dead. But it was Banjo with his arm up, scratching his head. Some niggers never die, they just smell that way. Now the more he'd scratch, the more he'd sweat. And I'm here to say he was a choking me to death. So we loaded up, I just couldn't go on. And I coughed and I gagged all the way home. When I dropped him off, I was next to dying. My nose was a-running, and my eyes were a-crying. The smell scorched the hair right out of my nose. When I got home, I had to burn all my clothes. Some niggers never die, they just smell that way. I recuperated quick, I was thankful for that. I was only in bed for a week and a half. The very first day I was up on my feet, I went to the supermarket down the street. I shopped all around and I filled out my order. My groceries were bagged by a fat nigger porter. The air conditioner was broken, I was ferocious, 'cause it was hot and that nigger was a sweating on my groceries. Some niggers never die, they just smell that way. The vegetables and greens I bought started wilting. My blood pressure rose and I could have killed him. I was gonna smash him all over that place, but he raised up his arm and I fell on my face. Now I'm here in the hospital and at the ceiling I stare. I could have whipped that nigger, except he used germ warfare. So from now on I'll carry a long, long stick, 'cause if I can keep from the smell, then I'll have him licked. Some niggers never die, they just smell that way.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Chimp Out Radio. Thank you for staying with me today on this episode where I'm, well, kind of flying solo, but not really, actually. I still do have a very special guest joining us from across the Atlantic. She is very well known to all of you on Chimp. She is our hypermod, well, one of the people really mainly responsible for what Chimp Out is. So let's give a big welcome to Hecate. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine. Thanks for the welcome. Hello, everybody.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us here. And we've been trying to have you on the show here for a while just to get your perspective and, well, the perspective of someone that is not in the United States. I mean, the show is, as is the forum, kind of America-heavy. Most of the folks on there are from the United States. So I think it's important to try to mix it up a little and bring some rather different perspectives on the nigger issue. And we're going to talk about some, well, I guess a comparison between coons and in the U.S. and the U.K. here in a minute. However, though, there was one more news story, Hecate, that I wanted to talk to you about. And it has to do with Chimpbabwe and its leader, Robert Mugabe. Apparently, it is his birthday. I forget how old he's turning. What, 85?
85, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. 85 years too long.
Oh, I'm surprised, you know, by nigger standards, that's the record.
Yeah, I mean, most niggers in Zimbabwe are that of age by 30.
Exactly, yeah.
But here's the thing that's really appalling about the big, expensive birthday party Mugabe threw himself is that, well, Zimbabwe is in a huge economic crisis. The country is broke, and there's niggers dropping dead of cholera all over the place. But he still gets to have a big birthday party that costs $250,000. Now, Hecate, I would think this is fairly illustrative of how niggers rule their countries.
Yep, that's right. The thing is, on that BBC article you've just mentioned, it's the headline says lavish birthday bash for Mugabe, and then the next headline it says Zimbabwe seeks urgent aid. So, I mean, there he is, stuffing his face, and you know they're asking for handouts. I mean, well, it's just niggers.
Yeah, pretty much. And there's another thing here, as mentioned in the article, which I was interesting that they would include on here. It's really the most infuriating part of this article. Let me just read from it. It says, Mr. Mugabe told a rally in Chinhoye that there would be no going back on planned and already executed seizures of land owned by white farmers. So apparently the new government of Zimbabwe, because, well, sort of new government, they brought in the other opposition nigger, Tsvangirai, or whatever his name is. They brought him into the government. Yeah, but apparently nothing's changing. I mean, and they're still going ahead and continuing with the seizure of productive white-owned farms. So is it any wonder that Zimbabwe has been starving and will continue to starve? Because, well, niggers don't know how to run these farms.
No, they don't. I mean, it's surprising when it was Rhodesia and it was under white rule. You know, it was the breadbasket of Africa. And now just look at it. It's a shithole.
Yeah, literally. I mean, yeah. And now you got the niggers shitting themselves to death because of cholera. Disease which is easily preventable. But, well, you know, none of these things are a priority to Robert Mugabe. His main priority is, to glorify himself with expensive birthday parties and to take away white people's productive farmland. And apparently he is stating that he will continue to do that in this, quote-unquote, new government of Zimbabwe, which now includes the opposition niggers, will continue this course of thievery and of waste and destruction. Rather sad story. However, though, I mean, there is a funny part about the story. I mean, if you look at it on the BBC website, you see a picture of Mugabe sitting there with his maw wide open, shoveling birthday cake into his mouth.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it. Oh, gosh, that's going to go on the caption competition.
Yeah, you have to post that one. That is precious. You look at him, he's like he's saying, I'm as hungry as she is.
Yes,
I like this cake.
But you see that nigglet, sort of she's coming up to birthing age now, or breeding age.
Yeah, there's this little female nigglet standing next to Mugabe in the picture. That's probably one of his wives or something.
Yeah. Well, he's got his eye on her.
Yeah, he's eyeing her, all right. He can decide whether he wants to eat that cake or take her.
Yeah.
Bitches off the hook and shit, you know what I'm saying? But moving away from the subject of Mugabe for now, well, since I got you on the show, KT, I wanted to ask you, well, you know, of course, you have tons of niggers in the United Kingdom these days. And to many of us, on this side of the Atlantic, it's hard for us to understand, why are there niggers in the United Kingdom? You never had slavery, so where did they come from?
No, because we used to be the colonial masses in Africa and places like the Caribbean, Jamaica and all that. And then, you know, the niggers decided, British decided to let the niggers rule themselves. And after the Second World War, a lot of rebuilding work needed to be done, and they shipped quite a few of them over in the Windrush. That's where, you know, a lot of niggers came on this boat called the Windrush, which, well, it should have sunk, but basically, because that's where the first lot came from. And then we've had, you know, all these tribal wars that are going on in Congo and Somalia and all over Africa, really. We end up with all the refugees as well, which is great.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. And now this may be, I guess, a question that kind of answers itself, since we at Chimpad are all familiar with nigger behavior all over the world. But are there any difference, even if they're only superficial differences, between the niggers anywhere else and the ones in the UK?
None whatsoever. Niggers are niggers wherever they go.
Do they eat fried chicken in the UK?
Fried chicken, yeah.
Oh, Lord!
Yeah.
Fried chicken be good, know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I used to live in London, and that's becoming more and more nigger fixated day by day. And since I moved away, there's no KFC around here, which is surprising, but there are no niggers, which is great. So, because they prefer the big cities. The urban jungle.
No surprise there.
You know, there's a lot of C&B going on, niggers killing niggers. which is good.
Yeah.
But
do they drink my liquor over there too? Do they have Colt 45 or what do they drink over there?
Do they? Oh, they. I'm not sure what it's called. It's a sort of. Do you know what Guinness is?
Yeah, I sure do.
Like a sort of dark beer type thing.
Yeah.
Well, they drink something like that, but it's called malt, but it hasn't got any liquor in it. It hasn't got any alcohol. And it's like these little brown bottles. And, I mean, I tried it once just to see what it tasted like, and it's disgusting. I mean, it's awful.
I wonder why they drink it if there's no alcohol in it.
It's got a lot of vitamins and a lot of calories. And, well, you know, they've got to, you know, get that booty going.
Yeah. Well, I guess they need their nutrients and vitamins so they have more energy for rape and killing people. Well, I guess that makes some sense.
It's you know, it's very sugary. It's just awful. I mean, Guinness is all right. I can drink Guinness. And I thought, well, this will be something like it. I mean, I tried it once when I was a bit poorly and I needed a bit of a boost up. And, oh, it was awful. But now that
I guess that's their equivalent. That's their equivalent of, I guess, orange or grape soda.
Yeah.
Over there.
Oh, they like that as well. Yeah, they'll drink that as well.
Well, there you go. But I guess either, I mean, other than that, there's of course the similarities as far as crime. I'm assuming that over there in the UK, niggers are guilty for a huge share of violent crime as well.
Yeah, most of it. Most of it. I mean, just look at the headlines. If there's, don't know if you remember, I posted this on the forum a while back, but there was this really awful rape in London of a young girl. Basically what happened is she dissed one of these niggers. Well, she told her friend, oh, you know, don't go out with him. And about 10 of the niggers went and raped her, which was really awful. And then this week we've had another case. This nigger tried to jump the queue. Well, his coal-burning hoe did. And the nigger just chimped out and he hit this man and killed him. I mean, that's just, you know, the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, powerful reports for now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, as far as humans in the UK, what's their perception of the nigger problem? Is there some honest talk about it, or is the discourse dominated by nigger lovers as it is in the United States?
It's worse. I mean, it's just so PC, it's unbelievable. I mean, if people knew I was saying this, they'd probably have the PC police come and knocking on me door. But, yeah, it's just awful. You can't, I mean, if you heard cases where people have gone to prison just for calling someone nigger.
Good God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like something out of 1984.
It is. It is. But the thing is, a lot of people are getting fed up. And maybe, you know, with what's going on with the economy and people are tired of niggers getting handouts and things like that, people are becoming more aware. I do sense, you know, there's a lot of discontent about this, about the nigger situation.
Well, that's good to know. It's good to hear. And really, I think it's inevitable that there's going to be a backlash because, I mean, when times are good and there's enough tax money to, you know, keep the niggers quiet and keep them from chimping out too much, then okay. But, well, things are a lot different now. You know, everybody's broke.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'll probably start seeing, you know, more incidents of maybe violence against niggers. You know, we would hate to have it come to that, but it may very well start happening.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a big thing recently in the news about British jobs for British workers and people walking out on unofficial wildcat strikes and things like that. But it's basically the government's fault, really. They've been mollycoddling these niggers for ages. There's been all sorts of affirmative action or affirmative action. Then we had the Stephen Lawrence shit, which, you know, they really love rubbing that in our face, the MSM.
So who is Stephen Lawrence?
Right. Stephen Lawrence was a nigger. And, oh, I don't know, but I think it's about 10, 15 years ago. He got done made good. And nobody knows who made this nigger good. But, of course, his family and all the other niggers started chimping out and blaming Whitey. And it's just been a big thing. I mean, anybody would think that this was, you know, a magic nigger, a saintly nigger. No, he was just another nigger. He got killed. Loads of them do. You know, probably it was another nigger that killed him. But, you know, they have to put the blame on Whitey. And, you know, it's just been dragging on for ages. They've never charged anybody. Well, they charged these five blokes, English white blokes, with his murder. But obviously they didn't have any proof. So they got off. Then, you know, the family's been chimping out and whining and getting all sorts of handouts. And they took out a private prosecution, which, again, you know, they couldn't find anything against them. And, you know, it's just something that they don't let us forget. And he was a nobody. I mean, there's rumors that he was a drug dealer. Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, he was a nigger, so, you know, wouldn't surprise me that he was a drug dealer.
Wow. I mean, it's amazing what a big deal can be made of some nigger being found dead somewhere. I mean, even here in America, I don't think anyone would even notice, much less make a big deal about it.
Exactly. I mean, there's niggers being made good every day now. I mean, London's a nigger battle zone at the moment. Because we've got, like...
It's turning into Mogadishu, apparently.
Yeah, well, there's the Somali niggers and the Cariboons and, you know, they've all got these nigger gangs and it's just, well, niggers being niggers and killing each other.
Yeah.
Not fast enough. But
yeah. Yeah, as they say, the leopard can't change his spots. So, yeah. Well, such is the situation. But, Hikati, thank you for joining me
on
today's Chimp Out Radio. Really enjoyed having you on, and hope we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, it's been great. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, and that was Hikati, but it sure was great to have her on. And folks, thank you so much for having joined us on this episode of Chimp Out Radio. We'll be back next time, well, whenever that may be, hopefully as soon as possible. Make sure you check out the forum at chimpout.com. Well, let us know what you thought of the show. And for archives, you can get archives at Chimp Out or at switchpod.com under the Chimp Out show page. So, once again, folks, thanks for joining me, and have a great week. Goodbye.